Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Big week this week in Seattle sports. The XFL, the Seattle team, has a name, is selling tickets, getting ready for the XFL season. Ryan Gustafson joins us right now, running everything. And how good has this week been for Seattle sports and the XFL?
It's just been so exciting. Like I said earlier, today is really the day that our franchise is born. We're so excited about having a team name, and really now the chapters that follow are really with us and our fans to write those and co-create the story with us. So it's been an exciting day, and we're less than 170 days away from our first game, and that's really exciting as well.
So talk about how it came down to the Dragons being the name.
Yeah, this was just part of a collaborative process. Local agencies, national agencies, our WWE and XFL creative resources together, all of that combined to create a brand and a story that is just really authentic to Seattle. So not just the name itself, but the imagery, the story around the weather and the downtown vibe that we had in our video from this morning. All of it comes together to tell a story that's really, truly authentically Seattle, and that's what we were going for.
So what does the Dragons explain Seattle?
It's really just the whole entire story. You have the fierce character, the water, the imagery of the weather in the downtown city, and the Dragons kind of descending onto it. So really, it's just the full story, and it's up to us to make it authentically Seattle from here, connecting with our fans, engaging in new ways. Like, that's really, this is just the title of the story, and now we're really going to be building on this going forward and want our fans to be a big part of that.
Seem to be kind of in the eight names, not all of them, but more of a medieval type of look, and certainly the design seemed to be a little bit more medieval.
Yeah, I mean, certainly with the way that our league is structured, we announced eight teams in one day, and it's part of a larger brand story of the XFL. I personally, and maybe I'm a little biased, but I'm partial to our name and our logo and our story. I think it resonates in this community. It's something that people can really rally around, and the colors and everything coming together is just super exciting.
What's amazing, I saw initial tweets coming out right now where they were polling people to see where the names go. The Vipers ended up being number one, Dragons number four of the eight. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I hadn't seen that particular poll, but I'll take Dragons number one. I think all eight names are great, and really it's up to each market to make them authentic to their own marketplace, and we'll certainly do that in Seattle and want our fans to be a big part of that.
So now that we know the names, we also know that you can get the tickets. You can start buying the tickets now.
Yeah, so season ticket deposits are on sale today, XFL.com, click in the link for Seattle. What that's going to allow is our fans to be first in line to select their seats when we actually go on sale with season tickets in September. So, when the Seahawks started at the new stadium, or the Sounders or other teams, it's hard to get season tickets in great seats there. This is our fans' chance to do that. So placing that deposit allows our fans to have the first shot at picking their seats when we go actually on sale in September when the schedule's announced.
Okay, and so now what's going to be the price point, or is that still being determined?
Everything's still being finalized. I would say that affordability is a big thing for us. We're going to have season tickets starting as low as $100 for a lower deck seat at CenturyLink Field. That's for the whole season, so $20 a game. So affordability and access are a big component of what we're trying to do. And while all of the pricing hasn't been finalized, fans can certainly count on us being affordable.
Is there any anticipation of what the crowds are going to be, or is that too hard to tell right now?
I think the expectations year one, for me, it's I want fans to look back and say that we did this the right way. Certainly, we want to fill the stadium. We want to have great TV ratings. But we're trying to build a 100-year brand here. And the funding that our league has allows us to take that long-term approach to doing this the right way. And so I would love to have as many people at CenturyLink Field as possible, and certainly we're going to work to doing that. But really the goal is let's be authentic and let's do this the right way and know that our fans are going to engage with us.
Well, that's the thing that I respect about, from Oliver Luck, yourself, and all that. I mean, the plan seems to be pretty well structured, because unlike the AAF that didn't have the finances up front and wanted to make an immediate splash, I mean, this is going to be a building process that's going to be there for years. I mean, this is not going to dissolve in 1 year.
Yeah, certainly. I think the time, the people, and the money, the funding behind this are what sets us apart. The year-long process of going through a product development cycle to look at the game, do research, do testing of rules, and create a game that's authentically football, high-quality football, and also build a plan around how do we engage with fans and bring them closer to the game than they've ever been. That's what we're really trying to do, and that extra time really sets us apart in our ability to not just succeed year one, but be a 100-year brand.
Well, this is the one thing I know from particularly the AAF, because I respected a lot of things that they did. They had a pretty good football package. They seemed to know what they were doing as far as on the football side of it. But the one thing they didn't do was get the quarterbacks. And what I like about what XFL is going to do, it's going to get the quarterbacks, Landry Jones being the first quarterback signed. And I would imagine that there's going to be a good run at what quarterback who doesn't make the Seahawks as a backup being a candidate to be in the league too. What's the plan for quarterbacks?
Yeah, great question. Obviously, Landry Jones was our first big signing last week. You'll see us go and sign seven other tier one quarterbacks outside of our normal player allocation process. So that will happen over the next few weeks as the NFL cuts their roster down to 53. The Seattle backup quarterback battle is an example that always gets thrown out, Paxton Lynch and Geno Smith. That's an example of something where we might have one of those quarterbacks play in our league, and we're going to go through a process of getting the best eight quarterbacks possible to really make sure that our league has that high-quality play. Landry Jones was the first one, and the next seven are going to be coming here in the next few weeks.
I've been saying this for years, is one of the deficiencies in the NFL is developing backup quarterbacks, because what ends up happening is that you draft a quarterback, he's there for 4 years. If you have a good quarterback ahead of him, he doesn't play. I mean, Ryan Nassib, I think, was one of the ones that you can see, and Landry Jones is others and all that. And so because of that, you have guys after 4 years who have talent that you'll be getting that don't get a chance to play.
Yeah, and the other thing I would add to that is that quarterbacks are playing 20 years now. Look at Ben Roethlisberger, obviously Tom Brady, Eli Manning. So when teams draft a high-round quarterback with the intention of him succeeding their existing quarterback, that hasn't happened. Landry Jones is a good example of that. He was the backup for Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh for a while. Ben's in his 19th season or something like that now. So quarterbacks are playing longer, and there are only so many spots, and we really believe that there's enough high-quality play out there to make a league that's entertaining and high-quality football.
About this, and maybe this one he hasn't even caught up on, because you pay attention to the National Football League, and there's about 12 quarterbacks right now, 5 years or younger, about 10 of them in their rookie contracts, and a lot of them are going to be there playing. And when you look at the needs for quarterbacks in the league, there's not many. And so because of that, if the quarterbacks stay healthy, there's going to be more quarterbacks coming through the draft that aren't going to be re-signed, because again, they haven't played, and they're going to be available.
Yeah, and plus the best opportunity for them is to play in our league, where they can get the experience, get the video of them playing in a high quality league. So certainly that's a big thing that we're counting on, is the ability to get high quality quarterbacks, and that goes for the rest of the roster as well. I think you're going to see our game be incredibly high quality and also just authentically football, and something that fans are going to really enjoy being a part of.
I want to go into this because, again, it's like what you're seeing is that there's going to be, I'm sure, a good fan experience, because that's the one thing that Vince McMahon has always been able to do. Take us through what it's going to be like in the first few games at CenturyLink. What's going to be there for the fans? What's the pace of the game going to be like?
Yeah, I think that's stuff that we're in the process of determining now. The pace of play itself is part of a larger discussion around rule innovations. Our rule book is going to be set over the next few weeks and months, and part of that is really how do we make our game more fast-paced, less disjointed than other games that are out there right now. And while our game's going to certainly be authentic and it's going to be football, it's going to have a little bit higher fast pace to it. And our fan experience is going to be about accessibility. So bringing fans closer to the action than they've ever been, whether it's on broadcast with Fox, ESPN, ABC, or whether it's in venue at a great place like CenturyLink Field. We're going through the process now of figuring out exactly what that looks like, but our fans can count on an experience that's never existed before.
I would also imagine, particularly in this town and maybe a few others, social media is going to be such a big part of how you're trying to identify with the fans. I know I'm working on a story with the Washington Post on what the Penguins have done through the years, and they're among the best in sports in doing that. What do you see from the social media standpoint?
Yeah, sports is storytelling, and that's what we're doing. Today is the first day of our story, and social media and content development in general is a big part of that. How do we tell stories around our players, our game, our fans, and do it in a way where people attach themselves to the brand in an authentic way? that's what we're trying to accomplish. And I think you're going to see us be at the forefront of using content and storytelling to accomplish that goal.
Well, the two things I know that kind of upgraded what the AAF was trying to do is the fact that, first off, you got the major networks involved on all just about every game. You're going to have access to just about every game. That's positive.
Yeah, so Fox, ABC, ESPN. So if you turn on your TV next February on ABC or Fox, you're going to see the Seattle Dragons playing the Los Angeles Wildcats or whomever else. And that is huge. I think to my earlier point, our funding allows us to think big picture, long term about fan development. And our TV broadcast deals are a great example of that. We have the best distribution of any league that's ever started up. We're excited about that, and fans are going to have easy access to our games starting next February, which is really great.
Going back to the pace of the game, have they established the rule for how long the clock is going to be so that it is going to be fast paced?
It's definitely going to be less than in other leagues, and it'll be more fast paced. We haven't finalized the rules yet. We just went through a third iteration of testing all of these potential rule innovations down in California a couple weeks back. We're in the process of finalizing the rule book, and it'll be announced in the coming weeks. But I would say that faster, quicker pace, less stall, more ball is certainly a big theme of it.
I know one thing Oliver Luck told me is that the one thing that they learned from the AAF, there's definite interest in football February, April, and you can name that in March.
Yeah, I mean, look at what the AAF drew on TV rating the first week that they started up. There's definite interest there. And if you believe in spring football as a concept, that there's the demand to sustain a new league, then this is it. The combination that's the perfect storm of all things coming together at one time with the people, the time we have to develop it, the funding involved in it, and our strategy of both having great high-quality football but also engaging fans in new ways. So we believe in this. We think it's going to be a 100-year brand, and we're excited to get started in February.
And what about the idea? Because, again, this seems to be, I think, a better idea in the sense that you got big cities and you got some warm weather type places too.
Yeah, we certainly took a different approach than the other spring leagues where they were in smaller markets. We went for big markets that oftentimes has NFL teams there, and we believe in that strategy. And Seattle's has the best sports fans in the world, and I'm lucky to be one of them and also be part of this franchise. And we're really excited about what it's going to become over the next months, weeks, and years.
And kind of tell everybody, of course, you've been involved in Seattle sports for many years, the places that you've worked with here in Seattle and how that's going to help with the XFL team.
Yeah, I grew up in Bellevue. I remember going to the Kingdom to watch Hawks games, Mariners games with my dad back, in the 90s, going to the Key to watch Sonics games. So Seattle sports are part of my identity. I was lucky enough after college to work for the Seahawks and then most recently with the Sounders. So I understand what it's like to be a fan in this market. I am one. And so that's going to be a core piece of our team's identity is engaging with Seattle fans in an authentic way because we have the best fans in the world here. And I'm just really excited to start the process of being a new team in the Seattle sports community.
And it certainly doesn't hurt to have one of the more popular quarterbacks in Seahawk history, in Seattle football history, in Jim Zorn as the coach.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about Coach Zorn yet. He's obviously a Seahawks legend. Not only is he going to be a wonderful coach, but he's going to be a great ambassador to this community. And I think when people see his involvement, his enthusiasm, and why he's doing this, giving players opportunities, giving coaches opportunities, and creating something special for this community, that's what people are going to really attach themselves to. And Coach Zorn, I couldn't think of a better person to be doing this with me.
And that's the one thing about the way the league is set up. There's so many offensive coaches that are there, and that takes advantage of the quarterbacks.
Yeah, definitely. Quarterback quality of play is certainly going to be a huge factor in determining how great our games are. So you see the theme of our coaches being offensive-minded, and I think when we do announce our rule innovations, you're going to see that fast-paced nature to it. And our idea is to create an entertaining, authentic football product, and I think we're off to a great start.
Okay, and then finally, the name is there. It's the Dragons. Mm-hmm. What's going to be coming up now in the next couple months for the fans to be able to follow?
Yeah, you'll see, like I mentioned earlier, season ticket deposits are on sale. You're going to see us also, as the NFL goes down from 90 to 53, you'll see us signing players to XFL contracts. Our draft will come in October, and then followed by our mini camps in, right around December 1st, so all leading up to February 8th. It's an exciting time. Today, again, just our team is born today. It's the first first chapter of our story, and we can't wait to have our fans help us write the rest of it.
Well, Ryan, congratulations and best of luck, and thanks for joining us on Schooled with a Professor.
All right. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with a Professor.